Content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. You're listening to NC Reading Service. This is Connect to Success, and I am your hometown girl, Shadate Hargett Hill. For the next half hour, I will be bringing you information, inspiration, and stories that will hopefully help you connect to your own success. Stories of blind and print impaired individuals highlight resilience, technological adaptation, and the pursuit of independence through accessible education and literature. Key narratives include navigating mobility with white canes, using Braille, and audiobooks from services like NLS and trailblazers such as Helen Keller and Wanda Diaz Merced, who use sonification for astronomy. Key things we want you to know about. With the power of independence, many individuals share journeys of overcoming initial hopelessness after losing sight, discovering that tools like talking book players allow them to regain control over their reading, professional development, and lives. Living with low vision, this involves adapting to a world that is partially visible, focusing on self-advocacy, confidence, and developing new skills for independence. Navigating the world. Narratives often focus on mobility, training, using canes to navigate school and community, and listening to traffic cues to cross streets safely. Accessible reading and resources. Braille Tales, a program in partnership with American Printing House, APH, and Dolly Parton's Imagination Library that provides free Braille print books to children. National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, NLS, offers free access to thousands of audiobooks, Braille books, and magazines, often with accessible equipment delivered to users' homes. Touch to See Books, organizations like Living Paintings and Clear Vision offer specialized books with tactile pictures for blind or partially sighted individuals, aiding in sensory reading. Seedling Book Angel Program provides up to 5 free Braille books per year to blind or visually impaired children in the U.S. and Canada. Education and Advocacy, Early Literacy, programs such as the National Braille Press Read Books. Distribute Braille book bags to children from birth to age 7. Discovering the Braille Universe, a handbook designed for blind kids and their parents, focusing on empowerment and education. Advocacy, the NFB, National Federation of Blind, highlights the importance of recognizing the achievements of diverse blind individuals beyond Helen Keller and some great people that we know of that were blind or print impaired, of course. Miss Helen Keller, Louis Braille, also Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, and so many more great people that have done great things. One person that we don't talk about a lot, but has been greatly admired in the sighted and blind community, Mr. Ronnie Millsap. Some great information that I'm going to give you about Mr. Millsap that you may not know. If you do know, that's great. If you don't, then this is a bit of inspiration, information that I hope will help you and make you know that, you know what, no matter what's happening in your life, you can be and do whatever you want to do. Ronnie Lee Millsap, born Ronald Lee Millsaps, January 16, 1943, is an American country music singer and pianist. He was one of the country music's most popular and influential performers of the 1970s and 80s. Nearly completely blind from birth, he became one of the most successful and versatile country crossover singers of his time, appealing to both country and pop music markets with hit songs that incorporate pop, R&B, and rock and roll elements. His biggest crossover hits include It Was Almost Like a Song, Smoky Mountain Rain, There's No Getting Over Me, I Wouldn't Have Missed It for the World, Any Day Now, Is It Over, A Stranger in My House. He is credited with 6 Grammy Awards and 35 number one country hits, 4 to only George Strait, Conway Twitty, and Merle Haggard. He was selected for induction into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2014. His early life from 1943 to 1971, Millsap was born January 16, 1943, in Robbinsville, North Carolina. Yes, right here in North Carolina. A congenital disorder left him almost completely blind from birth. Abandoned by his mother as an infant, he was raised in poverty by his grandparents in the Smoky Mountains until he was sent to the North Carolina State School for the Blind and Deaf right here in Raleigh, North Carolina at age 5. During his childhood, Millsap developed a passion for music, particularly the late-night radio broadcasts of country music, gospel music, and rhythm and blues. When he was 7, his instructors noticed his musical talents. Soon afterward, he began formal study of classical music at Governor Moorhead School and learned several instruments, eventually mastering the piano. When he was 14, a slap from one of the school's house parents caused him to lose what very limited vision he had in his left eye. With the national breakthrough of Elvis Presley in 1956, Millsap became interested in rock and roll music and formed a rock band called the Apparanians with fellow high school students. In concert, Millsap has often paid tribute to the musicians of the 1950s who inspired him, including Ray Charles, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, and, of course, Presley. Millsap was awarded a full college scholarship and briefly attended Young Harris College in Young Harris, Georgia, with plans to become a lawyer. During this time, Millsap joined a popular local R&B band called The Dimensions that played gigs in the Atlanta area and became a regular attraction at the rough and rowdy Royal Peacock Club. In the fall of 1964, Millsap declined a scholarship to law school and left college to pursue a full-time career in music. He met Joyce Reeves one night at a dinner party during this period, after which the two were married in 1965. In 1963, Millsap met Atlanta disc jockey Pat Hughes, who became an early supporter of his music career. Millsap recorded his first single, Total Disaster, It Went to Your Head, which enjoyed some local success in the Atlanta area. The single sold 15,000 copies with the help of Hughes, who played the record on his radio show. Around the same time, Millsap auditioned for a job as a keyboardist for musician J.J. Cale. In 1965, Millsap signed with New York-based Skepta Records, recording several obscure singles for the label over the next few years, and working briefly with other soul musicians like Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder. Also in 1965, Millsap scored his first hit with the Ashford & Simpson pen single, Never Had It So Good, which peaked at number 19 on the R&B chart in November of that year. It would be his only successful single during his time with Skepta. Millsap cut another Ashford & Simpson tune, Let's Go Get Stoned, that was relegated to a B-side. In the late 1960s, after moving to Memphis, Tennessee, Millsap worked for producer Chips Moman and became a popular weekly attraction at the Memphis nightclub TJ's. During this time, Moman helped Millsap land work as a session musician on numerous projects, including several records with Elvis Presley, such as Don't Cry Daddy in 1969 and Kentucky Rain in 1970. That same year, Millsap made the lower reaches of the pop charts with the single Loving You is a Natural Thing. He recorded and released his debut album, Ronnie Millsap, on Warner Brothers in 1971. Breakthrough success came in 1973 through 1975. In December 1972, Millsap relocated to Nashville after a chance meeting with country music star Charlie Pride, who was in the audience for a Millsap gig at the nightclub Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. Pride was impressed with Millsap's singing and encouraged him to change course and focus on country music. Millsap began working with Pride's manager, Jack D. Johnson, and was signed to RCA Records in 1973. He released his first single for RCA, That Year I Hate You, which became his first country music success, peaking at number 10 on the country chart. In 1974, Millsap toured with Pride as an opening act and had two number one singles, Pure Love, written by Eddie Rabbit, and the Kris Kristofferson composition, Please Don't Tell Him How the Story Ends, which won Millsap his first Grammy. In 1975, he revived the Don Gibson song, I'd Be a Legend in My Time, and scored another number one hit with Daydreams About Night Things. It was almost like a song, 1976 to 1978. From 1976 to 1978, Millsap became one of the country's music's biggest stars. He scored seven number one singles in a row, including the Grammy-winning I Am, Stand By, My Woman Man, and What a Difference You've Made in My Life. The most significant of these series was It Was Almost Like a Song. In 1977, a piano-based ballad, which became his most successful single of the 1970s. In addition to topping the Billboard Hot Country Song chart, the song was his first entry on the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Music chart since Please Don't Tell Him How the Story Ends reached number 95. It Was Almost Like a Song reached number 16. It was also his first song to make the Adult Contemporary chart, stopping at number 7. While the song was Millsap's only crossover success of the 1970s, he continued to achieve hits on the country music charts for the remainder of the decade. Crossover success 1979 to 1992. Millsap's sound shifted towards string Latin pop ballads during the late 1970s, which resulted in crossover success on the pop charts beginning in the early 1980s. From 1980 until 1983, he scored a series of 11 number one singles. Millsap's greatest hits album, released in 1980, include a new single, Smoky Mountain Rain, which became a number one smash on the country charts. The single peaked in the top 20 on the pop music chart and also became the first of two Millsap songs to score number one on the Adult Contemporary chart. Other crossover successes included top five pop single, There's No Getting Over Me, and the two top 20 songs in I Wouldn't Have Missed It for the World and Any Day Now. The latter, which lasted 5 weeks at number one on Billboard's Adult Contemporary chart. He also had some success with He Got You. All four songs reached number one on the country music charts. Although the series of number one hits ended in 1983, the last song of the series, Stranger in My House, was still successful on all three charts, peaking at number five on the country music chart, number 23 on the pop music chart, and number 8 on the adult contemporary chart. Just a few months later, Don't You Know How Much I Love You was released, became Millsap's last significant entry on the pop music chart, stopping at number 58. However, it, along with others, still became major successes on the adult contemporary chart. These successful singles include Show Her, Still Losing You, and finally the Grammy-winning song Lost in the 50s Tonight, his last pop crossover success in 1985. Between 1985 and 1987, Millsap enjoyed a series of uninterrupted number one country singles, enjoying great success at this time with She Keeps the Home Fires Burning, In Love, Snap Your Fingers, Where Do the Nights Go, and the Grammy-winning duet with Kenny Rogers, Make No Mistake, She's Mine. In 1987, Millsap contributed the theme song to the short-lived NBC television series, J.J. Starbuck. In 1989, Millsap had his last number one song with A Woman in Love. Although he still remained successful on the charts, other top 10 singles between 1989 and 1991 include Houston Solution, Stranger Things Have Happened, Turn That Radio On, a remake of the 1950s hit Since I Don't Have You, his last adult contemporary hit, and Are You Loving Me Like I'm Loving You. With the help of writer Tom Carter, Millsap wrote and released his autobiography titled Almost Like a Song in 1990. In 1992, he had a major success with All Is Fair in Love and War. The song featured rock guitarist Mark Knopfler on lead guitar and peaked at number 11. His last top 40 country hit, True Believer, peaked in 1993 at number 30. By that time, however, Millsap's chart success began to decline. Since 1993, Life Today. Millsap has remained one of country music's most beloved performers despite a decline in radio play after the mid-1990s. In 1993, he released True Believer on Liberty Records, and even as his contemporaries were no longer played on country radio, scored a top 40 hit on the country chart with a title track. In 2000, he resurfaced with 40 number one hits, a two-disc retrospective which hit the country top 20 and earned gold certification. That same year, his life and career were profiled in an episode of Biography, reflecting on his musical legacy and crossover success. In 2004, Millsap recorded Just for a Thrill, a collection of pop and jazz standards. The album marked a stylistic departure and earned a Grammy nomination. He returned to RCA Records in 2006 and a mainstream country sound with My Life. His two-disc gospel set, Then Sings My Soul, from 2009, reached the Southern Gospel charts, and Country Again, 2011, reflected a more traditional country style. In 2014, Rolling Stone included Smoky Mountain Rain among its 100 Greatest Country Songs. That year, Millsap released Summer's Number 17, an album of nostalgic pop and R&B covers. He was among 30 artists featured on Forever Country in 2016, a mashup honoring the 50th CMA Awards. In 2019, he returned to the charts with Ronnie Millsap, The Duets, featuring collaborations with Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson, George Strait, and others. A duet version of Smoky Mountain Rain with Parton reached the Adult Contemporary chart in the top 30. By 2020, Millsap had established a new home studio and continued to record. His album, A Better Word for Love, followed in 2021. In 2022, he contributed Oh, Lady Be Good to Michael Feinstein's Gershwin Country, a tribute to George and Ira Gershwin, and launched a podcast, Music and Millsap. That same year, he inducted Ray Charles into the Country Music Hall of Fame and was later inducted into the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. Millsap's Finer Concert, for which he was joined by longtime collaborators and other country stars, took place October 3rd, 2023, at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. The event marked the end of his touring career, 7 months after celebrating his 80th birthday on stage at the Grand Ole Opry. Though retired from the road, he continues to record. Amateur radio operator. Millsap is an advanced class amateur radio operator. His call sign is WB4KCG. In his personal life, in 1964, Millsap married Joyce Reeves. They had one son, Ronald Todd Millsap, who was found dead on his houseboat at the age of 49 on February 23, 2019, from an apparent medical condition. Todd's son, who had not heard from his father for the previous 2 days, found the body. Joyce, who had been battling leukemia since 2014, died on September 6, 2021, at the age of 81. However, Mr. Millsap remains a legend in his own time and times to come. Legend Country Music Association, 1982, Top Male Vocalist, 1985, Song of the Year, 1988, Instrumentalist of the Year, 2002, Pioneer Award. Number ones: Male Association, 1974, Vocalist of the Year, 1975, Album of the Year, Album of the Year, 77, Entertainer of the Year. Male Vocalist, 1977, Album of the Year, 1978, Grammy Awards, 1975, 1977, 1982, 1986, 1987, 1988. This man is a genius. And I say all that just to say, whatever you want to do in life, do not let anyone or anything stop you. because you are the master of your own fate, and wonderful things are beholden unto you. So we're going to do something a little different before we leave today. It is heartbreaking, but it's necessary. So without further ado, I want to just let you know that, again, we're doing a little something different this month. And we want to say goodbye to an amazing woman and a friend to me and so many others, and a member of the NCRS Reading Service. Our friend who's gone too soon, Missy Hollander. As we say goodbye to Missy, our beloved Missy, I'm going to read her obituary. Melissa Reba Hollander, 59, of Raleigh, North Carolina, passed away March 9, 2026. Missy was born in Bohemia, Long Island, on February 3, 1967. She graduated from Connecticut High School and continued on to receive a Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology and Sociology at Johnson State College of Vermont. Missy worked as the production and volunteer manager for NC Reading Service right here, our very own NCRS, also known as Triangle Radio Reading Service, for 13 years, and had previously worked for Diabetes Management Solutions, Dress for Success Triangle, and the Literacy Council of Wake County. Missy married Chris Bernard on April 24, 1993, and they were married for almost 33 years. She was a voracious reader and enjoyed hiking with her husband, Chris, and snuggling on a couch with her dog, Milo, and a good book. Missy loved making new friends. She loved to hear their stories, the trips they'd taken, their accomplishments, and those of their kids and grandkids. Missy touched so many people in so many ways. She loved planning for special events like the NC Reading Service Gala and holiday parties. Missy is survived by her husband, Chris Bernard, one sister, Jeanette Bonville, and husband, Mark Bonville, and one brother, Craig Hollander. She was preceded in death by her parents, Ozzie and Natalie Hollander. A celebration of life to honor Missy will be held 11 a.m. Saturday, May 2nd, 2026, at Mitchell Funeral Home, 7209 Glenwood Avenue, Raleigh, North Carolina. A luncheon reception will follow at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be directed to her favorite place, right here, the NC Reading Service. You can send those donations to NC Reading Service, 211 East Six Forks Road, Suite 103, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27609. Again, NC Reading Service, 211 East Six Forks Road, Suite 103, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27609. And if you would like to leave a favorite message or story of Missy, or a message of condolence for her family, you may do so at dignitymemorial.com. There you'll find ways to show your support by adding a memory, sharing any wonderful thing about Missy that you can remember. I know there's a lot of great things. Again, her celebration of life will be Saturday, May 2nd, 2026. Celebration of life, 11 a.m. to 11:45 at Mitchell Funeral Home at Raleigh Memorial Park, 7209 Glenwood Avenue, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27612. And the celebration of life reception will then follow at noon. A wonderful lady, someone who supported NCRS with all her heart and all her soul. The best production volunteer manager there would ever be. Loved by everyone who she came in contact with. a very, very special lady who will be missed and loved. One person wrote this wonderful thing about her. She was our neighbor and my dear friend, and I will miss our walks and our talks, Bonnie and Noreen Mattis Slattery. Missy was one of the most attentive and caring listeners I've ever known. She will be missed by so many. Pat Nathan Groves. Missy's dedication to serving others was an inspiration to us all. She will be deeply missed. How sad I was to hear the news of Missy's passing. I knew her through the NC Reading Service. She was always so personable and kind, as well as encouraging and grateful for the NCRS volunteers. May she rest in peace. Martha Potter, her colleague. Chris and family, we are so very sorry for your loss. Jim, Kathy, and Jasper. To Chris and Missy's family, I send my heartfelt condolences. She left much too soon. Once a girl, more girl, Gilmore girl, always. Debbie Stewart. Missy was a smiling face that introduced me to what is now almost a decade-long volunteer position at NCRS. The world was better with Missy in it, and she always brought a smile and appreciation for her troop of volunteers, even when you couldn't cover for someone the PM shift or on a Tuesday night. Joe Brazel. I was so sorry to hear of Missy's passing. We met at Dress for Success in 2009 and stayed in touch until a few years ago. Missy was a wonderful listener, interested and attentive. We wouldn't get to see each other regularly, but I was always surprised what Missy remembered from each coffee and lunch date to the next. She had a great memory for people's details and cared deeply. Missy was a truly wonderful, giving human who will forever be missed. Elizabeth Johnson. Chris and Milo, we didn't know Missy well, but we always love seeing you both out walking Milo. You were both always so kind to wave and smile, say hello, even when our grumpy dog barked afterwards. Dan and I are sending you all our much love and light. Erica Pagash. There are so many wonderful, funny, and beautiful memories that I have of Missy over the past 30 years. Missy was and always will be inspiring, kind, and generous. Stacy. And from me, Missy, I got this poem from Michael Landon. Remember me with smiles and laughter, for that's the way I'll remember you all. If you can only remember me with tears, then don't remember me at all. Missy, all of our memories of you and with you are tied to your smile and laughter. I promise to always remember you that way. I promise I will, Missy. I love you and I miss you. Miss Missy forever.